go to Ethan in Houston, Texas, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Your question, Ethan, for Carla Broussard.
How you doing? I had a question regarding something. So my question is, how do Catholics earn forgiveness? Let me give you like a small bit of background. I want to become Catholic, and I'm planning on joining RCIA this year.
Yay.
But I feel like one of my stumbling blocks is, like, how do Catholics earn forgiveness? Because I come from, like, a Protestant Calvinist background.
Sure.
And I know the difference between, like, venial and mortal sins. And mortal sins, you have to go to penance. And venial, you can confess directly to God. Or you can go to a penance if you don't want them to, like, pile up. But from Protestant and, like, Calvinism, they say, like, you sin against God every day almost. So how can I earn God's forgiveness if I sin against God every day, kind of?
Okay.
And also, how do I avoid... I feel like if I become a Catholic, how do I avoid scrupulosity? Is that how?
Sure. Very good question. Yeah.
Okay, Ethan, let's let Carlo take a shot.
Yes. Ethan, first of all, thanks for calling in, brother. These are great questions, and it's the exact type of questions we're looking for today's show. Concerning, with regard to your first question, earning God's forgiveness, it's important to point out, first of all, that we don't earn God's forgiveness, Ethan, in the sense that Jesus Christ freely laid down his life on the cross in self-sacrificial love to take away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist says in John 1:29. There is nothing you or I or anyone did in order to earn that act of love, that act of mercy, whereby the entire human race is forgiven and reunited back to God. Now, that grace of forgiveness of sins has to be applied to us individually. We call it the subjective dimension of redemption or the subjective level of salvation. And we know from Scripture, Ethan, that initially that grace of forgiveness is applied to us, is given to us through the sacrament of baptism. 1 Peter 3:21, St. Peter writes, baptism now saves you. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, that through baptism we die with Christ and we rise with Christ to a newness of life, which he says in verse 7 of Romans chapter 6, in that death we are freed from sin. So that grace of forgiveness is applied to us subjectively and individually through the sacrament of baptism. But Ethan, once we enter into that relationship with God, as you mentioned, we continue to sin, right? We sin sometimes every day, more than once in a day, etc. But you know what, Ethan? Jesus was looking out for us because although he gives us the sacrament of baptism for that initial application of his mercy, he also gave us another sacrament, namely the sacrament of penance, reconciliation, or confession, take your pick, or however you want to refer to it. And he reveals that to us in John chapter 20, verse 23, where on the night of the resurrection, he enters the upper room and he breathes on the apostles and says, whosoever sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you shall retain, they are retained, granting unto them the authority to make a judgment whether to administer God's mercy or not, depending upon whether the penitent is sorrowful or not. So the sacrament of confession is given to us by Jesus for those sins we commit after baptism. The sacrament of confession is given to us primarily for those sins after baptism that destroy our relationship with God, which you refer to as mortal sin. But the sacrament of confession is also for venial sins. Now, Ethan, it's important to know we can be forgiven of our venial sins without the sacrament of reconciliation. So when you kneel down at night in your personal prayer and you ask God to pardon you of your sins and to forgive you, those venial faults that St. John calls sins not unto death in 1 John chapter 5 are forgiven. Whenever we go to Mass as Catholics, Ethan, and we pray what the prayer is called, the Confiteor, I confess to Almighty God, etc., our venial faults are forgiven if we have sorrow in the heart. But we can still take those venial sins to the sacrament of confession. Even though we don't have any mortal sins, we still take those venial sins to the sacrament, Ethan, because in the sacrament of confession, we receive special graces called sacramental graces that actually heal the wounds that sin causes in the soul, at least begins the healing process, and gives us the power that we need in order to overcome those sins and to have a firm resolve and our firm purpose of amendment, to amend our ways. And with regard to your question of scrupulosity, you don't need to be scrupulous, Ethan. We know the good news of Jesus Christ, that his mercy is abundant, and all we need do is ask. And in the case of venial sins, that mercy is granted to us without the sacrament. In the case of mortal sins and ordinary situations, we need to have recourse to the sacrament. Does that help, Ethan?
Yeah, it helps a lot. I had one quick question, if you could briefly touch on that. So I know I've been reading in the catechism, like, there's like three criteria for mortal sin, like it has to be full consent or something like that,
sure,
or the will. But that's kind of like confusing to me.
Okay.
Is it possible you can give me like an example and break it down for me?
Sure. Yeah. So, Cy, what Ethan's referring to here in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in its section on mortal and venial sin, it gives the three criteria or three conditions that must be met in order for a sin to destroy charity in the soul, where supernatural life no longer exists in the soul and you're separated from God, right? That's what mortal sin refers to, a sin unto death, the death of the soul. Now, Ethan, the three criteria for our listeners' sake are, number one, it has to be a grave, serious sin, grave matter, which is determined by the teaching of the church, the magisterium of the church. We look through her teaching on morality, anything that would be intrinsically violating the natural moral law, you might say, would have a grave, serious character to it. Second condition, you have to have full knowledge, Ethan. That is to say, you have to fully know its gravity and that it's gravely wrong. Thirdly, you have to have full deliberate consent. That is, you're not being physically coerced. You're not committing it due to some sort of steeped habitual disposition, right? There are certain factors that could mitigate one's culpability and thus that consent not be met, and therefore the sin would not bring about a mortal effect. So, for example, Ethan, let's just take the first example that pops to mind is the use of contraception. Okay? Ethan, there are many, unfortunately, Catholics out there who use contraception. And it seems, I don't know how this is possible, but it seems that there are many Catholics who literally don't know, some Catholics out there don't know that the Catholic Church says no to contraception. Possibly because, unfortunately, some priest who has had bad formation in the seminary has told them, yeah, it's okay as long as, you know, you're loving each other, etc., and you know, you're having children, but you want to space them, etc. So let's say you have a Catholic couple, Ethan, that's using contraception. They're thwarting the human sexual design, okay? Now, that's grave and serious. That's a grave and serious matter. But it's very possible, Ethan, that this couple, the condition of full knowledge would not be met. Now, let's say you have a scenario where the same couple, they have full knowledge, but let's say the woman is being physically coerced or emotionally and psychologically coerced by the husband, and the husband is threatening to leave her with the six kids or whatever and saying, you must use contraception or I'm out of here. So she's distraught. And she commits the grave, serious offense. It's grave matter. She fully knows it. But it's possible the circumstantial factors could mitigate her culpability, and thus she wouldn't have full deliberate consent, and thus the sin would not have a mortal effect. So,
Ethan, all that helps?
Yep, thanks.